morning, everyone. Scripture reading this morning is from the letter of Paul to the Corinth church, chapter 15, verses 12 to 20. It is preached that Christ was raised from the dead. So why do some of you say that people will not be raised from death? If people will never be raised from death, then Christ has never been raised from death. And if Christ has never been raised, then our preaching is worth nothing, and your faith is worth nothing. And also we will be guilty of lying about God, because we have preached about God by saying that Christ raised from death. And if people are not raised from death, then God never raised Christ from death. If dead people are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised from death, then your faith is for nothing. If we are still guilty of our sins, and those people in Christ who have already died are lost. If our hope in Christ is only for this life here on earth, then people should feel sorry for ourselves more than everyone else. But Christ has truly been raised from death, the first one of all those believers who are asleep in death.
Thank you, Renato. Good morning. Welcome to everyone. We have lots of folks visiting with us today. We're so glad that you've come our way. You know, we have family members here and friends and folks from the community. We're just very grateful that we can come together today to worship the Lord together, to praise Him, and just to reflect on the meaning of Christ for our lives. Appreciate so much the songs that our brother Jared led us in today. If you don't like sermons and you're not going to be listening for the next few minutes, just think about the words of those songs. They pretty much say, I think, everything that I've planned to say today. And I may have a new favorite song in Christ alone. I don't know of a song that says more, perhaps, than that song does. Such amazing words about our Lord Jesus. And we're just glad that we can be here today to worship Him together and just to be together as a community of faith. When you hear the word resurrection, I wonder what image may come to your mind. Perhaps it's a bright light, because we think of the light as the angels come, as the action of the resurrection itself happens. Or maybe you see an angel rolling away a stone and people looking on in fear, or the stone rolled away before the tomb. Or maybe you're thinking about what's inside, the fact that the tomb is empty, or the women coming with their spices early on the morning of that first day of the week, only to find the stone rolled away and Jesus not inside, but rather risen. Or Peter and John, remember that scene as they respond to the reports of the women and come to the tomb themselves and find the grave clothes of Jesus, but Jesus is gone. Or Mary, who comes back and who is weeping because she doesn't know what's happened to the body of Jesus. She wonders if someone's taking him away, even as Jesus himself stands nearby and eventually speaks to her. Or later, as Jesus walks on the road to Emmaus with two disciples, telling them from scriptures all that there was to know about Christ and his ministry and his resurrection, though they don't recognize the fact that it's Jesus himself who's talking to them on that road. Or maybe it's that week later on the first day of the week when Thomas is there and sees the hole in Jesus' side and confesses, "My Lord and my God." There's so many images of resurrection, and I think it is no exaggeration to say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the pivotal event in history. That is not an overstatement. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the pivotal event in history. Everything hinges on whether or not the resurrection of Jesus Christ actually occurred. That's what Renato just read to us from 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ has not been raised, Paul says, we apostles are just a bunch of liars. Your faith has no value whatsoever. You're still guilty of all of your sins. The people that have put their faith in Jesus and they're now gone, they've passed away, well, they're gone. They're lost forever. And so will we. In fact, if it's just about this life, Paul said we should be pitied more than anybody on the face of the earth. People should feel more sorry for Christians than they do anyone else because we are hopeless and pathetic if Christ has not been raised. And yet, the very next verse in verse 20, Paul affirms, but Christ has indeed been raised, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The resurrection is critical. It is crucial. It's the pivotal event. William Lane Craig writes this, without the belief in the resurrection, the Christian faith could not have come into being. The disciples would have remained crushed and defeated men. Even had they continued to remember Jesus as their beloved teacher, his crucifixion would have forever silenced any hopes of his being the Messiah. The cross would have remained the sad and shameful end of his career. The origin of Christianity, therefore, hinges on the belief of the early disciples that God raised Jesus from the dead. It really comes down to this, you know, there are only two alternatives. There was a man named Jesus who lived in the early part of the first century in Judea. He was crucified. These things are recorded historically, and there are only two possibilities. Either his body was buried and decayed and was left there in the tomb like all other bodies before and after, or Jesus was raised incorruptible, imperishable from the grave. That is the central pressing question of history. Can you see the difference it makes one way or the other? Not just for history or for the ages, but for your life. The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. And Paul makes it very clear what it is for us as Christians when he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, as he begins this amazing letter, he says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said it's simply this, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and this is the demonstration, the proof that he is in fact the Son of the living God. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the witness of Scripture and of history, that Jesus was raised from the dead, that he is the Son of God, that he is divine. It was impossible for death to hold him in its grasp, as we sang a few minutes ago. He vanquished the grave. He conquered death. He is the resurrection and the life. And this resurrection changes everything. This is the cosmic game changer in history. You understand what this means, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. All of existence, all of reality, everything that people think of as being real and true, all of reality is shaped by the resurrection of Jesus Christ and is transformed by that single event. Because it's not just that Jesus was the Son of God. I mean, Jesus is the Son of God. It's not just that he's the Son of God. That's not all that the resurrection means. But as God's Son, as the Son of David, as the new King of Israel, as the promised seed of Abraham, as the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, all that Jesus is and claimed to be, he has come to carry out God's eternal purpose in this world. It's not just this single event and the resurrection and Jesus is still alive. The resurrection demonstrates that all that God has promised to do from the very beginning is actually what is happening through Jesus Christ. The resurrection says Jesus is not only who he claimed to be, but Jesus came to this earth to do things that God has promised to do, and in fact that God is continuing to do through Jesus Christ. And I'd like for us to take a moment this morning just to think about essentially the big picture. What does this mean? What does it mean that Jesus is raised from the dead and is carrying out the purposes of God? Because it's one thing for me as an individual, the resurrection and the impact on me, but it's important to see that the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Think about God's eternal purpose. How would you describe the purpose of God? What is it that God is doing in the world since the beginning? And I would suggest that perhaps an easy way to summarize it in three words. In fact, we sang about it just a moment ago in the song In Christ Alone. God's plan is to reverse the curse. That really is God's eternal purpose. God creates a perfect world, doesn't he? An amazing world, a perfect world where there is complete, open, intimate fellowship between God and man and woman, and they live in perfect harmony together. Everything in the world is perfect. Everything is exactly as God intended for it to be until sin, until Adam and Eve choose a pathway of rebellion. And when that occurs, everything is turned upside down. Everything is thrown out of order. Everything God had always intended for creation to be, everything that God intended for us to enjoy as his creation, all of that was ruined by sin, by guilt, by shame, by death, by estrangement. That fellowship that we enjoyed with the Father has been broken. Paradise has been lost. And according to Genesis 3, creation itself, the very physical world and universe, is also plunged into corruption and decay in this downward spiral that has been brought about by our sin. Even the earth is cursed when man sins, so that everything begins to become corruptible and to decay and eventually to die. God's plan from the very beginning is to reverse that, is to redeem everything and everyone from the curse of sin. And to do that, he deals with sin. He will deal with sin once and for all through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. He himself will come in the flesh in Jesus Christ, and in so doing will live a perfect life. He will take our place. He will then in his own death take our sins and the sins of the world upon himself to pay the price once and for all. And in so doing, to deal a death blow to Satan, who wields such power in this fallen world. And so Jesus will come to set us free. Jesus will come to set all of creation free. Jesus comes to bring everything back into relationship with God, to reconcile everything back to the Father through him. And then in his return, to raise the dead, to bring forth new heavens and new earth, and to restore God's original intent for creation. Paradise regained. The restoration of perfect fellowship with God in a perfect environment where sin has been done away with, where Satan no longer has any hold whatsoever. That is what is happening in our world today. Now, that's not what you're likely to hear from a lot of sources of what's happening in our world today, but that's what's going on. That's what God is doing. God is moving the world forward along that pathway to bring about his ultimate goal of reconciling heaven and earth and his creation through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and to bring us back again into fellowship with him. And in that sense, the resurrection truly changes everything. The resurrection affirms that this is exactly what's going on. With apologies, heartfelt apologies to the Easter Bunny today. It's not about gooey eggs and what getting your favorite color of Peeps, which is very important to get your favorite color and shape of Peeps on, you got to get that today. You know, it's not even finding the special treasures that we all put inside those little eggs that come apart for our kids and grandkids. And I hope all the kids enjoy that and have a great time. That's super. That's great. But the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. The first day of the week belongs to Jesus because he triumphed over death on the first day of the week. And this one is a special reminder to folks because it's the first day of the week, the first day of the week after Passover, which takes us back to those events that happened 2,000 years ago when our Lord and Savior came out of the tomb, and God's eternal purposes are being moved forward. And what God is doing in reversing the curse is not just something that happens at the end. It's happening now. It's already started. It started in our lives. The resurrection impacts our lives directly, even now. And it started. For those of us who are Christians, this whole thing starts with our conversion. When we have turned from sin and turned to God, when our hearts and minds have been won over by the gospel of Christ, because we were, as Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead. We were spiritually dead in our sins. That's a very clear theme of Scripture. Before Christ, we are spiritually dead in our sins, but God made us alive together with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. That's what the gospel is all about. Being made alive, being spiritually dead, but being made alive. And Paul talks about how this happened in our own experience when he describes our faith and our baptism in Romans chapter 6. He says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. There's that death and burial and resurrection that Jesus experienced, that we experienced by faith in him. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know our old self is crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. The old self crucified, dead, buried, raised up through faith in Jesus Christ. And the curse over our lives is turned back. And we're reconciled to God now. Last week, our brother Rick mentioned his spiritual birthday. Mine was March 15th, 1964. That was the day that I determined to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I confessed my faith in him, and I was baptized a mere 15 years ago, or something like that. 49 years ago. I can't believe that. 49 years ago. And you know, it's an amazing day. I still remember because it was just the start. It was just the beginning of this life in Christ. But it's the day when the curse got turned back, when God said, you know what? This is my son now, and his sins are forgiven, and he lives with me, and he has a future with me. That's what happens when we come to the Father through the risen Jesus Christ. The fellowship that was broken and destroyed because of sin is restored, and we know the Lord, and we live with the Lord. Life comes out of death. Spiritually speaking, we were dead and now we are alive. That's experiencing the power of the resurrection in ourselves. And it just continues from that point once you come into the body of Christ, because we begin this process of transformation that is directly tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because having been raised, having been made alive, having been dead and now alive, the resurrection changes everything by bringing about changes and transformation in us. Paul speaks of this in Colossians 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. See, that's the given. That's the experience of the believer. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul isn't saying here, oh, just kind of live above the world, never think about what's going on in the world, just live with your head in the clouds. That's not what he's getting at. He's saying, look, your value system, your priorities, who you are, the core of your life is no longer rooted in the story that the world is telling you about what reality is, but rather in the risen Christ. So let your mind focus on that. That sets your priorities. That tells you who you are. That's the instruction for how you ought to live. And that then shapes us. It shapes our values and our goals, even our morality. As Paul goes on to say in the next verse, put to death, therefore, since we've been raised with Christ. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We live risen lives. We serve a risen Savior. We live risen lives. The curse no longer defines our lifestyle, but we embrace the righteousness of God, and we rely upon God and His instruction in the Word and the power of His Spirit to overcome the deeds of the flesh. And so the resurrection is the indication of our own conversion and salvation and our transformation. And then, of course, it becomes the message we proclaim. We proclaim the risen Christ today, the crucified, risen one. As Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. The church is a community of confessors. We confess openly Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Son of God. He is risen from the grave. We confess it in our assemblies, in our songs, in our prayers. We confess it in our lives by living new lives and by speaking on behalf of Christ to people who've not yet heard the good news. This is the truth we live by. It's the heart of any message that we have to proclaim to the world. It's the ultimate truth. God's people have been declaring this truth since the very first time that someone stood up and preached the good news of Jesus. Here it is out of Acts 2. First time. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. That is the confession of the church. That's the message that we proclaim. It's our testimony and witness to the world that the resurrection is a demonstration that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to save, that he came to bring about the forgiveness of our sins, to reverse the consequences and the effects of the curse by reconciling us, restoring us into fellowship, taking away our sin, and then giving you and me the power to live resurrected lives, not just to talk about resurrection, but in a fallen world, by the power God supplies, to live new lives, knowing that our lives are caught up in what God is doing. He is moving everything along to his final end, moving along as the scriptures teach us. In Ephesians 1:10, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head. That's where things are headed. That's where God is moving this world. Colossians 1:20, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That's what God's doing in the world today. God longs to make peace with every human being and looks forward to the day that that peace is spread about through all of the new creation. Paul says in Ephesians 1, speaking about the power that's at work in you and me, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Christ rules today. The risen, ascended Christ is glorified and reigns at the right hand of God and will reign and has authority over the heavens and the earth. Not only in this age, Paul says, but in the age to come. This is where God is moving creation toward. And as Peter says in 2 Peter 3, in keeping with this promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and new earth, the home of righteousness, paradise regained, a world of righteousness and peace and sinlessness, a world, as the book of Revelation will tell us, there will be no more curse. It's gone. That's God's purpose, to redeem us from that. Now, if you turn on your TV today, if you read the newspaper, if you surf the internet, you're going to hear a lot of different stories as being important stories. You know the stories you'll hear. You'll hear about the economy. You'll hear about jobs. You'll hear about the threat of North Korea. You'll hear about the uncertainty about Iran. You'll hear some stories on the Middle East. There'll be talk about whether the stock market can maintain the gains that it's had over the last month. We know the stories. Whatever latest tragedy, and we certainly have been through a lot in our nation lately, whatever the latest tragedy has been, that will be there. If there's a severe winter storm, that will be there. Those are the news stories. Those are the things that get reported. That is what we're kind of told is what is really happening. Of course, those things are happening. We're interested in the things that are going on around us in our world. I don't make light of any of these things. But there's a sense in which we need to come to grips with this truth. All of those stories and any story in this world is peripheral and incidental to the one true story that God has been moving along since the creations of the world. We care about those things. We live in this world. We want to understand them, of course. Work toward peace. All of those things, absolutely. Those are noble pursuits. But we need to understand that the real story is that God is at work now in this world, in Christ Jesus, through his church, to evermore bring his reign and kingdom to this world, preparing us for that day when everything is made new and the kingdom of God is fully realized in the return of Jesus. That's what's really going on. That's really what's happening. That's the story that's not going to stop. It's never going to change. That's the story that God has revealed to us in his word. It is ultimately about the conquering of death and the promise of life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And nothing compares to this story, especially if your life, if your story is tied in with this, if this is the story that defines who you are and your values and your priorities, what a difference it makes in life. This tells us who we are. It sets our priorities. It helps us make our decision. It shows us the way to live. Those of us who embrace the risen Christ, who confess him as Lord and Son of God, we are caught up by virtue of our connection with God and the kingdom. We're caught up in something divine and something cosmic and something eternal that God is doing in this world. And he looks to you and I to be faithful in our task to help bring about God's purposes in this world, to help bring about the proclamation of the message of the risen Christ and what it is that God is doing in this world. That is what life is all about. And if you're missing out on this, if you're settling for a different story, like the American dream, or working hard and then retiring and having a little fun along the way and try to minimize your losses, just living in the world, there's something about life that you've just missed, because the main story is Jesus Christ crucified and risen. That's the story that gives our lives meaning. And we would point you, we who, through no greatness of ourselves, have come to know the Lord, have come to find him through the testimony and the help and the grace of other people who shared the message with us, we would all point you to Jesus Christ, to the risen Lord, to the Lord who gave his life for you, the crucified one, the risen one, the ascended one, the glorified one, the one who reigns, Jesus Christ. We point you to him. We would proclaim him to you just as Peter proclaimed on that day in Acts chapter 2. When the people heard that they had crucified the Lord and Christ, that Jesus was in fact their very hope, they said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent, change your ways, change your heart, make a turn in your life. Have a different way of looking and understanding about Jesus. Come to accept who he is. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's the message the church has been proclaiming for 2,000 years, that we find meaning, that we find life in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. And the resurrection will change everything. The resurrection of Jesus Christ occurred. Do you understand the implications of that for this world and for you and me in responding faithfully to Jesus as the Son of God? That's the true story. That's what life is all about. And if we miss that, we miss everything. The resurrection changes everything, even me, even you, when we come to Christ in faith. Today we praise God for the grace and power that we see in the resurrection of Jesus, for the grace and power that we experience in the way the resurrection impacts our own life. And we thank God for where he's taking us. We thank God for the way he did not leave us cursed and estranged, but through Christ reverses and redeems and renews and reconciles and puts us on a path that leads back to the paradise we forfeited through our own sin. What a story of life out of death, a story that each of us can participate in. And if you need to come to the risen Lord today to find your life in him, we encourage you, we invite you in his name as we stand and as we sing together.